Look.
People start with Tom.
Carry on, okay?
Oh, sure.
Shh.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry.
Call this council to order. We have Pastor Kathy Chester with us tonight from Carolina Coastal Vineyard Church doing our invocation and our Pledge of Allegiance. Thank you for being here.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for just another day that we can live in such a beautiful place and serve such a beautiful place. Lord, I lift up this meeting to you and everyone that's here. Lord, that everyone can stay focused, consider all the needs and desires of people here, Lord. We just thank you for sparing our community from the hurricane, Lord, and we pray for those that are not that far from us, Lord, that are still trying to get back to normal, Lord, and I pray that you just help us have the wisdom of even knowing how we might be able to help them. I lift up the mayor, city council, all town officials here, and Lord, I just thank you again just for letting us be here, letting us serve this community. In your precious name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Welcome everybody tonight. First on our consent agenda, I have an addition for the resignation of Ken and Paula Withrow from the Recreational Committee. I know they have really been fantastic volunteers for this town for years and years and years, but they've decided to spend the majority of their time traveling the world. So very jealous right now, but would like to add those two resignations to the consent agenda. Any other items?
I'd like to take the police department policy manual out of consent agenda and put it under old business, please.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else from anyone? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve the consent agenda as changed?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The adoption of the regular agenda. Do we have anything anybody would like to delete or add? Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion to approve the agenda as presented.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. And our agenda is approved. Presentations to the council. Oh, this is one of our more exciting presentations. We always enjoy having Victor here with us tonight to talk about our audit for the town. Okay.
It's a pleasure being here, and thank you for allowing us to work on the town this past year. We have a small presentation before we get into it. I think everybody's had an opportunity to look over the financial statements. You did receive an unqualified opinion, which is a clean opinion. It's the cleanest opinion. You know, really appreciate the hard work that the town and Arlen puts in to make this audit as smooth as possible for us. And it allows us to get in and get out to minimize the disruption of the town. So we really appreciate it. We've got a small, presentation here for you. The first thing we want to talk about is the net position of the town of Curry Beach. And you can see over the last 3 years, it's grown from a little over $13 million to almost $15 million. So, you've got a steady increase. The red portion of that is your governmental activities. That's your general fund and your capital project funds. It's grown from almost $6.8 million in 2014 to almost $8 million in 2016. The blue, that's your business type activities, that's your water and sewer fund, which is almost, that's $6.6 million in 2014 to just a little over $6.8 million. So your business type activities hasn't grown as much, but that's kind of normal in a sense that that's your fee for service type of charges there, where your governmental fund is where you, the larger growth has occurred, but you know, that is some planned items that you put in place around 2013, 2014, such as like the beach nourishment, the stormwater stuff that's helping that to grow, that you're kind of saving up some money for those future expenditures as needed. This is a little more breakdown of the governmental activity side of the net position. And as we talked about, the blue portion there, that's your invested in capital assets. So that's the police vehicles, the fire vehicles, the recreational stuff like that. That is a large portion of that governmental activities. You know, it hasn't grown. It's $4.1 million in 2014 up to about $4.4 million, but it does make up a significant portion of your net positions. The red portion of that is your restricted portion. Those are those grants that you received that you haven't expended the money for, or that it's money set aside to for future expenditures. And that will fluctuate up and down depending on when you get the money and when you spend the money. Now in 2014, you had about $870,000, and it decreased in 15 to about $650,000, and it's about $650,000 in 16. The unrestricted portion is where you want to see your growth. Now that's the green bar, and you can see it's about $1.7 million in 2014. And it's about $2.9 million in 2016. Again, that's that unrestricted portion is where you're building up those reserves for these future expenditures that you might have to incur depending on the state, the federal government's funding, your beach nourishment, in addition to, you know, some of the projects like your stormwater projects that you're going to be implementing in the next couple of years. As we talk about the business type activities, you really didn't have much growth between 14 and 16, but again, just like the governmental activity, business type activity, a large significant portion of that is sitting in this capital assets number. You know, that was basically $4.7 million in 14 to about $4.5 million in 16. We really haven't had a lot of growth in the like expanding water and sewer lines in the town or anything. That decrease is primarily your depreciation associated with it, and that's why it's gone down. But the unrestricted portion is, on the flip side, the good thing is your unrestricted portion has increased from about $1.9 million to about $2.3 million. And that is the money that's kind of freed up to help pay for those unusual repairs and maintenance that might occur if anything happens. This is the governmental funds. This is a more detailed breakdown of kind of what your general fund is made up of. The red portion, which is your unassigned, is, you know, increased from about $1.7 million to about $2.6 million. The unassigned money is the money that you can appropriate if you need to balance your budget, but it's also where you're setting up the reserves, or, you know, that you could reach in to help the reserves if you needed. The blue, if you can see the blue portion and the purple portion, those are your assigned. This is where the council has set aside that we want to set some money aside. The blue portion is your beach protection, where your purple portion is your sign, your stormwater. And as you can see, your beach protection increased from about $84,000 to about $237,000 over the last 3 year period, where your stormwater is, you know, started off with about $840,000 and it's about $980,000. So those are monies that you've set aside to help fund those projects when they do, when you do have to incur and pay for them. The restricted portion, which is that kind of the lime green color and the darker red color underneath it, as well as the dark blue, those are restricted. That the lime green is your federal assets forfeitures. That's the money that the police department gets from making forfeitures that is restricted for certain training or where you can acquire certain specific type of equipment. And now that was about $177,000 in 14, and it's down to about $95,000. So what that tells me is that the town is using that money with the police department to buy certain pieces of equipment or to provide training, specific training for the officers. This, the street portion is the money set aside for what is called a power bill, and that is used to help pay for the streets in the town. And that's been fairly consistent, you know, starting off about $214,000 in 2014, and it's about $255,000. And that money is kind of granted to the town every year, and depending on how you, you know, how much damage you have to the streets and how much you repay the streets will tend to fluctuate that money. The state statute is a calculation based off the state laws in North Carolina, depending on the cash available and the liabilities associated with the town. And this will kind of fluctuate depending on how much cash you have at the end of the year and depending on the outstanding liabilities at the end of the year. And this is the only time we calculate it is at the year end for financial statements. Now, you know, it's $480,000. In 2014, and it's $301,000, and it's kind of gone up and down. The only real thing is what that is to set aside money that might not be available in that unassigned. So the state says, we want you to do this calculation, put that on the financial statements to where the municipalities or government entities in North Carolina aren't allowed to use that to appropriate in their budget process. And that's the only reason that they make you do this is, and it's really a cash flow type of calculation. So is it, that will tend to fluctuate depending on the year and numbers. This is a kind of just a kind of budget versus actual comparison for the general fund. As you can see, you budgeted about $4.3 million in revenues during the year. You budgeted about almost $4.5 million in expenditures. You had a budget of a budgetary loss, if you want, of about $164,000. And your other financing sources and uses, that's kind of like your interest expense and things like that. So that would increase your loss. And that $287,000, that's what we're talking about. That is a, your to balance out the budget that you're required to do in the state of North Carolina. You had to dip into your fund balance, that unappropriated or unassigned portion, to make sure that your budget balanced. Well, it, as you can see in the actual results, your revenues actually came in higher than what you budgeted, about almost $100,000. You didn't incur as much expenditures as you thought you would have, and you had another, you know, $360,000 savings there. So you instead of a budgetary loss, you actually had a budgetary positive variance of, you know, of almost, you know, $450,000 compared to, you know, the actual versus budgetary. Trickling down to other resources, you came in where you were projecting to have a loss of about $287,000 that you were had to dip into the fund balance. Your actual results were actually positive, where you had a positive variance of $430,000 that actually increased the fund balance instead of decreasing it. That's what you originally planned when you established the budget last July. So,
Carl, can you stay on that for a second? So, two things on this slide. One, great job forecasting the revenues, Arlen. You were 2.5% off. That's pretty awesome. And then great job to all the department heads because they were 10% underspent for the budget. So just if you could pass that on. I know only three of the department heads are here to pass it on, but that's awesome in both cases. The budget officer understands our revenue streams. If you're 2.5%, that's pretty awesome, right, for all awesome. The craziness. And then 10% underspent on the budget is always good, so almost 10%, so great job. Please pass it on. Thanks.
Now, here's a more detailed breakdown of your water and sewer fund. Your total operating revenues are a little over $2 million. Your total operating expenses, about $1.8 million. That translated into what we consider operating income, a little over $200,000. The non-operating revenue and expenses was only about $18,000, so we were able to increase the water and sewer fund a little over $200,000 this past year from the actual amounts that increased the net position from $6.6 million to about $6.8 million.
And this was a little harder, Arlen, but do you know how close that is to what you forecast? Or can you just look that up? I'd be interested. But I know when we did the calculations to change the water bill, I guess that didn't kick in until this year though, right?
Well, we had one last year.
We did have one last year, right? Yeah, so we did have one last year. So, yeah, so that was part of what we went through. Did it result in what you thought it would?
Yeah, actually a little bit more in revenue than I budgeted because I was conservative on that. The one thing here, though, to be clear, that I want to make clear, is that this also includes SURF.
Yep.
So without SURF in there, the change in that position would be about $90,000 less than that. So that's
yeah. So that's how much building there was. That's how much, there were 45 mm-hmm. houses built, basically, then. Something
yeah,
like that.
Well,
45.
Yeah.
Because that's what SURF is, right?
Yeah, it's new construction. I
right.
Guess, so.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks.
One question for you, Arlen. Year to year on our budget, what percent did we grow? Is that about 4 or 5%?
Well, the trend has been about 5%
okay.
increase in expenses right. and
I was,
about 2% increase in revenue.
Okay. I was just trying to really gauge what that 10% was. To budget, understand what it was. Year to year, it was still a fine job. Still a fine job.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Know if anybody has any questions for Victor?
No. Great job.
Any areas we should be concerned about? Any weaknesses?
Yes, sir. If we, as part of the audit, like we've talked about in the past, as part of the audit, we have to do an internal control evaluation of the audit. And if there were any concerns with the design or the operations of those internal controls that met a definition of a significant deficiency or material weakness, we were required by professional standards to put that in writing. Mm-hmm. So the lack of that documentation that was provided to you lets you know that nothing came to our attention during the audit as it relates to the design or operations that met those definitions. There's adequate segregations of duties here, and everybody's doing what they were supposed to do as required by the policy manuals and stuff, and also the state statute. So nothing came to our attention that we felt like we had to put in writing.
What about go ahead, Chris.
I was going to say, would you feel comfortable in projecting if we are a top 10% town or a top 50% town, or you would not feel comfortable doing that?
Well, I mean, I've had this conversation with Arlen before. Thinking about the size of Curry Beach, A lot of towns do not have separate finance officers. Most of the towns might have a town clerk that wears many hats.
Right.
You know, Arlen, with his background as being a CPA and coming in, and also with the training that a lot of you do. I know a lot of y'all do the training that the school of government puts on, just not for the council, but also the town clerk as well as the finance officer, that you really have, you know, compared to towns your size, you're up in the top 10 because you do have those separations of operations that a lot of towns do not, because they got one person doing everything. Where, you know, you have the separation here that helps with establishing those appropriate controls.
Well, thank you very much for that opinion. As a liaison to the finance officer, I'm pretty happy with what he's accomplished, and I'm happy to hear you say that on his behalf.
Yeah. And Victor, thank you for doing this for us every year. Arlen, the one thing I we're so very different, but I am so glad to hear you say year after year, it's because I've been very conservative about looking at this, or very conservative about, you know, working on that. And I am so very glad we have a finance officer who is much more conservative than I could ever be. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Victor. It's always a pleasure.
And we look forward to seeing you next year, if not before. Thank you. Okay. consideration of people to address council. I understand we don't have anyone signed up at this time. Okay. Discussion and consideration of committee business, board of adjustment, community center, marketing committee, and don't know if the marketing committee next month might want to have something about their plans for this coming year that you'll be seeing next month.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Parks and recreation. Slap and parking committee. Sir?
Did you skip planning and zoning? Talk about the chickens.
Oh, yeah, did I?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, I'm so sorry, John. Please step forward and tell us about your chickens.
For those of you that may not know me, I'm John Kelly. I'm the chairman of the town planning and zoning committee. And at the last council meeting, a young lady made a presentation regarding housing chickens in the community, and the council asked the PNZ to take a look at regulations to go into the city code, town code, regarding keeping chickens. Currently, chapter 4 is 3.5 pages long, titled Animals. There's a couple of general things up front, and then Article 2 talks about dogs, the leash law, animal messing on people's property, dogs on the beach, enforcement, and penalties. We are recommending, and I handed it out, apologize for not being able to email it to you, but there is our recommended wording for a regulation regarding hens in the town of Curie Beach. This is very similar to the words that were enacted by Carolina Beach, but we stuck in the provision, no roosters at all, which is not in theirs. And we talk a little bit about the structure will be designed and built in the same style as the primary structure that the chicken coop would be housed around. But that's a little bit different than the Carolina Beach one. So, there it is for your consideration. You can work with it this evening or decide what you want to do. I don't think it's not in the planning and zoning part of the code. I don't think it requires a
public hearing,
but certainly anything could, that's up to the council.
Question for you. The last item C, hens shall not be used for commercial purposes. Does that also include the hens byproduct?
Yes, you can't, you're not raising hens to lay eggs for you to sell eggs.
Okay. But you can give them.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Yep. Give them away.
So, or throw them at your neighbor's house.
So, and even though, so it doesn't require, require a public hearing, I think it's the right thing to do is put it on next month's agenda so people know we're discussing it before we vote on it. Does council agree with that? Or, I mean, because no one knew we were going to, this was going to come up because it wasn't on our agenda. If someone was interested, other than have an opportunity.
Fine with me.
So I recommend we put it on next month's agenda to vote on.
I think so.
That's a good idea.
I think so. That's a good idea. Consensus.
Okay.
I did have one question for you, John. This, the coop shall be fully contained. That can be wire, that can be, just so it's, I just wanted to make sure if we're talking about wood, if we're talking about anything that would just, you know, enclose the chickens.
And no particular dimensions.
Well,
there's
square
feet. Okay. So it can't be bigger than 6x10. Well, or something.
I was thinking like height.
Well, it can't be visible from the front, so it can't be four stories. Third car.
Right. There you go. Good job. Nice recovery.
It has to be in the backyard. Yeah.
Multi-story chickens in there, right?
And that, I mean, if you build one two stories tall, it's going to be more than the square footage allowed.
Sure.
Now, while I have the floor,
square footage.
Let me go on to say, as part of P&Z, I think due diligence, hens came up, you asked us to look at hens. We have drafted 3 pages of a ordinance dealing with livestock and exotic animals. So I don't know what your feeling on that issue is. We just let that sleeping dog, as they say, lies.
Well, I don't think it's sleeping anymore.
That's right, yeah.
I don't think anybody has put a horse in their backyard yet, but we have a little chart in here that talks about cows, goat, horse, chicken, duck, turkey, rabbit, sheep, and swine, and depending on their size, how much area would be available, how you apply for permit to have those types of animals.
Does this mean you can't have a pot-bellied pig as a pet?
Right now, you can't.
Okay.
But I don't know how much further you would like P&Z to work the animal issues.
What do you consider exotic animals?
Snakes.
Monkeys.
There's 2 monkeys.
We have 2 monkeys on our street.
Really? What?
We got 4 up there besides.
Nice. There you go. Wow. Hey, he's feeling pretty froggy. You know?
I'll show you the last part of your show.
You're feeling pretty froggy tonight.
That's
great. Craig.
Sorry. You notice he said 4, so it does not include
said,
the mayor.
That's right. He said beside you. Yeah, you're good. Good. So he's asked us, do we want to do something about the other animals or not? I think you should send it to council so we can see what you guys have done.
Yeah.
Electronically, because I don't want to deal with the paper.
I'm not that excited about changing.
Okay, well, that's fine. Then.
Do we have anything about exotic animals now? We don't, do we?
What?
We don't have anything at all on exotic animals now.
Oh, no. Like I said, the 4 pages currently in.
Well, that's one of the reasons that I'd be interested, because it's going to be tougher to get rid of something.
Once it's there, right?
Comes in.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing written.
I think if the commissioner is interested, they should put it on next month's agenda.
Yes.
Okay, before I read through all of this, could you tell me you know, I see the enclosures and the area and all, but if your exotic animals is kept in your house all the time, or your pot-bellied pig is kept in the house, does...
Well, it says you to have these types of animals, you must apply for a permit. Now, I don't think we have any intention. I would hope we would not have any intentions of going out of the house.
Right, searching. It's not the searching so much as,
I mean, you're not forcing them to live outside because the snakes and the monkeys can't live outside. They have to live inside.
Point is, do you have snakes and monkeys?
Well, we already have.
So, I think we'll take a read through this, John, and I think there's value in here, and we need to decide what to do with it.
Can you get it electronically to Nancy so she reports to us? Thanks. And then if someone wants it, we can put it on the agenda.
This particular draft was patterned after what has actually been enacted in the town of Belton.
Okay.
Okay. Well, John, I apologize for skipping you. All I can say is I was so excited about Slap being with us tonight, I have just jumped ahead.
Good evening. My name is Dennis Panicali. I'm actually one of the newest members of the Slap Committee. Just recently elected co-chair after being on the committee for a couple months. Susan, who's chairman, couldn't be here today. She's traveling. And I am here to answer any questions that the town may have regarding what we've been doing, and also to request that the town council approve a request to put in 5 new parking spaces along Fort Fisher Boulevard. These are parking spaces that were inadvertently eliminated when the street was repaved. There were initially 6 spaces that they forgot to reline. Turns out one of them was illegal to begin with, so there are 5 new spaces. Department of Transportation has requested that the town council approve these spaces to be relined. So that's the first order of business for the Slap Committee.
Okay. I've been waiting for about 5 days to talk with you.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, you need to know that nothing I say tonight should be taken personally. Okay. First of all, DOT did not come and recommend that. At least one, if not 2 of your committee members contacted DOT, email, telephone, and then asked them to come down here in person. DOT did not identify those spaces as ones that were here before and were not put back. They were told to survey the town and find any spaces on Fort Fisher that could be used. I will say I think there would have been 6, but the woman who lives in front of that space got a little upset with the DOT man, so he took it off its list.
These were there before, though.
These, not necessarily, because a couple of them are really, really small. Like, they could have been there before, but I talked to the gentleman at DOT, and he said mainly he was asked to identify any spaces we could have on Fort Fisher Boulevard, not necessarily former ones. And so one of the things I guess I'm a little miffed and disappointed about was that the gentleman on your committee who started this, first of all, didn't say anything to council in advance that he was doing it, that he contacted DOT about a town issue without any permission at all from any town official. And as a sidebar here, and council may disagree with me, but I would like to request that no citizen contact any federal, state, or county government official on town business without coming to the council first, and no one on staff except department heads and the mayor and council members, and hopefully we would all share with each other, except of course in an emergency situation. Wait a minute. The gentleman did not talk to our police chief or to Sonny or to any other staff members about what they thought about this. I took it to the police department, and two of the spaces, the two on Fort Fisher South, the police department requested that those be removed from the list and not placed back on there.
Which two? The one, number three?
The two
four,
on Fort Fisher, number four and number five.
Okay.
I would like to request that one or more of your committee members talk to the people who live in front of these spaces and on each side of these spaces to see whether or not creating the space would create a problem for them driving out onto Fort Fisher. We have a few that have been put back, and it is extremely difficult for people living either in front of it or wherever they have a driveway coming out right there where the parking space is. They cannot see in either direction when a car is passed there in order to get out of their parking space and therefore, you know, creating a potential problem. David?
I was just going to ask, are these the ones that Tony talked to us about in January and February? And talked to with the department heads?
I have that information, but he never gave the address. He said what block they were in, and I understand he and my predecessor went out with DOT and showed them where to put the spaces.
No, not.
And they put a space.
Your predecessor?
I don't recall it.
No, that was a year ago. Then we had other ones in January. But each time he came, he would say it's between H and I.
I'm just asking, right?
So we don't have any addresses, so I don't know.
He actually brought a map to council and showed us.
Do you have the map?
The spaces. The
map is part of record. Now, the only thing, as I recall,
we couldn't find that.
The only thing that I recall is that Tony did bring these things forward. We did, in fact. I also went down the street with Tony, and he showed me where there were lines that they did not put parking places in. A DOT man did come here, spoke to us in this building,
I remember the DOT coming to, and we don't have a record of that.
Well, he came into the building, and it was Dennis Cooper who did look at those, at those
and
spaces.
And that's fine.
Right.
Somehow we've lost that communication that we had when Tony was here.
Yeah, well, that's my understanding is that Tony instituted this process, and Jim Smith, who's simply been following up, and Jim was requested, even when Tony was chairman, Tony requested that Jim follow up with the DOT. My understanding is that there has been a transition from DOT, so the person who was initially responsible for these spaces left, and Stoney Mathis, who's the new contact, is relatively new and is new to this particular project.
And he would
my understanding was that Tony instituted this before he left as chairman.
Well, that plus it was actually using the town guidelines to determine where spaces would be acceptable and not acceptable. So many feet from a driveway, so many feet from the edge, so many feet per drive space. So there was a lot of work done. There was a map produced, and unfortunately, I guess we're going to need to resurrect that if we have a desire to add parking places.
Could we get a copy of those guidelines, Nancy? Avery? Could we get a copy of those guidelines that Craig is referring to?
They're actually DOT guidelines. I'm sure you have that.
Okay. Well, not our guidelines.
Yeah, so
no, they're DOT guidelines, so they become our guidelines on their street.
So I think Slav's asking us to take action. I think the mayor brought up, I don't think we're going to take action tonight, but what I would like is to go back to the records and find what Tony brought to council and go back to the department heads, because I know the department heads and him went around, right? And so if the department heads have concerns, we need to get them, because I think with DOT, you don't want to wait forever. They sent this out. I think, you know, we're going to be discussing this in our next council meeting, and please let DOT know that council has held you off for a month.
Okay. I've already let them know that.
Okay, that's fine.
But also ask, it was a number of years ago that I was involved in some of it, but I think all the committees are already under the restriction that they're not allowed to contact anybody without contacting council.
Yeah.
I was under that impression that that was in the rules, committee rules.
Tony brought it forward. I think we gave him permission.
Yeah,
I
but
could
that
be wrong,
was, these are, these have come out since then. These have come out in the last 3 months. At least I understand from Stoney at DOT.
Well,
that,
because of the transition, my understanding, I had nothing to do with it, but my understanding is because of the transition to DOT, he is new to this, and so it is new to Stoney. It was not new to the committee, and our understanding was the committee had permission to go forward and try and get those we want.
I believe he told them they needed to get it in writing from the council could do anything, and sent that email to us, and that's how we found out about it. One thing I would like to request, if you could put it at the top of your list, is we would really, really like to have someone from your committee come to every council meeting and let us know what you're working on. I mean, you have a two-page list here of all the things that you're working on, and it would be nice to know each month where we are on that. And in fact, it would be nice if the other committees would also come and talk to us each month. I think David has pointed out we will put this off until next month, but that, you know, I would still like to request that they contact the people who live in those areas and find out whether or not this will be an issue for them getting in and out of their driveways. We would not want to have to put those lanes down and then have complaints and have to take them back up or paint over top of them. Along these same lines, let me see if I can find the other DOT thing. There was a I probably should have started at the top on this. Stoney told me, that's the guy at DOT,
yes,
told me that Jim Smith also contacted him about having lines put down at K and Fort Fisher. He gave him three options. In addition to that, there is a state law that if you have a crossover at two major state roads, which 421 and Fort Fisher are, you are required to have one of the systems where you push a button to stop all the lights and you have the chirping sound and everything going on. DOT has a problem with the southwest corner because of the pole that's there. It would be virtually impossible for them to do it there. And he had a couple of other suggestions. Do you have any idea how much this would cost?
I'll give you a little background again.
Okay.
This is all I know since I just joined the committee. So,
okay.
My understanding is that the question of crosswalks had come up numerous times to the Beach Access and Parking Committee. And so while Jim was on the phone with the DOT, he asked if they had been contacted and what were the chances of putting their crosswalk in there. Stoney from DOT responded saying, yeah, there's no reason we can't. We'll look into it. And what we'll need to do is do an estimate of what it would cost, and that the town would be responsible for paying for that. And so my understanding is that Jim said, well, okay, go ahead and look into it. We'd be interested in seeing what's going on. So that's the genesis. That's all I know is that's the genesis of that. I'm not familiar with any of the assessment that DOT has done there, and I didn't hear from them.
They haven't done an assessment yet. It's not just a matter of looking up the cost of the lights and all. They have to come out here and do surveys and do on-site assessments, and I asked him. They're not ready to do that yet because they're working on things now because of the storm and everything else. But I asked him to please put that off until I got back with him tomorrow morning on whether or not the council, and again, it would have been nice if Mr. Smith, first of all, had talked to the police department about it, and then second of all, come and talk to council about it to see whether or not that's something, not only whether we want to do it, but whether or not we can afford to do it. And because I understand that the expense is extreme, that it is thousands of dollars, okay? And I'll get back to that one in a second. If our chief would like to weigh in on this, you know, I would appreciate it. I understood that if we have tourists out there all summer pushing those buttons to stop the lights, we could have a traffic problem as a result of it.
If you had multiple, I'm sure it would. they go with the lights on that particular one. If you push a button, when the light changes green, right. This way, it would go. That's about as much as I know about it. We had multiple crosswalks and several blocks. One at every block, I think it would be a nightmare for traffic. But,
Yeah, but you don't have to let it control the lights at all. You can have a time light and still have the crossing stuff. Those buttons don't have to do anything. They don't have to do anything. It's just a lighting strategy for timing. And I would never advocate that we let pedestrians control the only main traffic in Curie Beach because that would be crazy. If you want to have lights so they can look at the lights and figure out when to cross, fine, but. And I don't think DOT would let that happen either, because the first time that it was backed all the way up to E Street, like Carolina Beach sometimes mm-hmm. gets, everyone would be pointing out how dumb we were. Jason.
I guess I would just like to point out the reason that this was even asked by the committee and by Jim Smith was a number of people have inquired to a number of committee members about crosswalks at that area because they neighbors felt it was a dangerous intersection. And so many times we've been asked as committee members if anything was in the works. So I think that's why it was.
And that's when it would be good to come to the council and say we've heard from many people and is there anything in the works? And, you know, I love the idea of lines up there. I don't know that it would keep people contained, but if it has to come with all the other bells and whistles that go with it, I think I personally would agree with the chief and with David, and I don't know, do I hear consensus from anybody? Okay.
Can I comment on the parking issue?
No, we're not doing parking. Let me get back to parking in a minute. We're doing lights right now, okay, and crosswalks. Okay, we did have a few people, we had a person who wanted crosswalks put up at every intersection from K south, and talked to a few people about it, especially our police chief, and that could create a nightmare since motorists don't stop anyway. And gives a false sense of security sometimes for our people, thinking that if they cross, people are going to stop automatically. But that's the only request I have received on crosswalks. I would like to go through a couple of other things, if you don't mind hanging out for a while here.
Absolutely.
Let's see, we're talking about giving certificates. I think it's wonderful. I'm glad you're doing it. Before you finalize them, will you please bring them to Nancy Avery and Nancy Hewitt? Because
yes, my understanding is that they're working on the certificates and they're going to bring them to council next council meeting in November to be reviewed and to talk about the some type of acknowledgement for the members or yeah. for the volunteers.
Yeah.
So I think it's on schedule for the next council meeting.
Okay, even before then, it would be nice if they ran them through those two staff people
mm-hmm.
To be sure that they're consistent with ones that we normally give out. You have down here that the TDA project, there's no change. Please tell me that does not mean Tourism Development Authority. Do you know what the TDA project is?
No.
Okay, could you find out what it is? Because I can't imagine that SLAP really does anything that has anything to do with TDA. If they want to volunteer to do some things, we may have some takers up here.
I don't know what it stands for. I do know that it's been a long-standing activity for the SLAP community.
Okay.
So,
if you could find out and let me know, I'd really appreciate that. Beach access, Nancy Avery, you want to address the letter we received today from the state approving one of our grants?
We have approved for E&I for paving beach accesses.
Yeah, that's what it says on their minutes, their September minutes. Project time for the start of this project is November. John Batson will be overseeing the project.
No, that's H.
No, no.
H is done.
It says I&E beach access grant. Number four, under old business, the projected time for the start of this project.
Oh, I'm reading this in their minutes.
I am too. This is their minutes scanned in, September 2016, SLAP committee minutes. That's what I'm reading. Number four. The one right there.
It says we're waiting to hear when the grant is finalized.
Oh, I'm sorry. In September, it says that it was projected start.
Okay. Sorry. Well, this is their October.
Sorry, I got
minutes.
The wrong one. So last
That's
month,
why
they were ahead
if
of it.
They had come in September, we'd already know that, but yeah, well, it has been finalized, and yes, it will probably start in November after we finish up everything on the storms.
We have to get contracts, and contracts have to come to council, and council
funding. Signage on the beach. Gosh, I am so sorry Sonny isn't here, but I'm sure you will be a good stand-in for him. You've talked to Sonny about changing our signs?
No, not about changing, about
adding to all the signs we have.
Yes, we did the committee did a survey to make sure the signs were consistent and all the signs were present. There were a few that were found to be missing. In doing the survey, we also found there were signs, particularly no dogs on the beach signs, that were not placed in the best position because they're at the street side of the parking lots, and people pull into a parking lot, and if they didn't see the sign when they pulled in the parking lot, there was no signage on the walkway that said no dogs were allowed. And again, neighbors were complaining to some of the members of the committee that there were no signs at the access. So that was the primary issue that came up. In the course of that, it was raised, the committee asked, well, what about changing that to something similar to Carolina Beach, where we have one large sign that's well done? And so, just in the spirit of discovery, I talked to Sonny and asked if that had ever been considered. He said it had been considered, and that there were complications, but if the committee wanted to look at it and could make a proposal, that we would consider it and the council would consider it. So we went and explored with Carolina Beach just to get a sense of what it cost them and how they did it and how well it's worked out for them. And my understanding is that the signs were roughly $350 a piece and that it's worked out quite well, at least aesthetically. It's been pleasing to the visitors and
Are they bigger than our signs?
It is a single sign in Carolina Beach, which has all of the regulations, no dogs, all of the town regulations regarding fires, etc., debris, smoking, everything that's on there. So it's one large, roughly 4x4 sign that has it all on there. The other thing is that there is a fair amount of maintenance, according to Sonny, that they have to, you know, make sure that the signs are in place, not knocked over and not stolen. Carolina Beach said that since they've had the signs up, they've had no vandalism, no theft, and they've not had to do any repairs to the sign. So there's some annual maintenance savings to do a single sign.
What if they have to make a change to the sign, seeing how we have changes to our rules?
They have a 5-piece sign that can be, sections can be interchanged out, so you only have to change one section.
Each sign is 5 pieces?
Yes, they're aluminum signs with five pieces that are on 6x6 posts.
Okay. Makes sense. Of course, it would be nice, you know, first if we could see a sample of the signs and all, but most of all, the issue I really want to address, you're talking 23 signs at $350. That's $8,000. Do you know how much money you have in your budget?
We are not proposing to do this. We are simply researching the issue, and we would, when we have the information, thought it would be worthwhile to bring to the town council for the town council to consider.
Okay, you have $775 in your budget. That won't cover it. This is till July 1st next year. Because most of it has already been spent on the parking lots. Only 60% of the parking, the overpass parking lots and everything have been paid for, so there's still another 40%. I mean, because we had to do matching funds and some other things in there that cost us. So you will be way over budget. And if you really are serious about these signs, if you would come and show them to us, with an idea of how big they are and the rules, our rules that are on them, not Carolina Beach's rules. And if we really love it, then when we have our budget meetings in February or March and the committee part of it comes up, we can see about putting it in your budget for next year. Also, that gets back to the lighting or the buzzers and the bells and whistles for crossing K and 421. We could not begin to pay for that with $775. So with some of the ideas your committee has, even if they're very, very good ones, if you could prepare them for the budget session so that these things are in your budget at the beginning of the year and don't have to be taken from somebody else's budget in the middle of the year.
Mayor, I believe that's what we're attempting to do. We're attempting to research this, and it's just we're in a discovery process to see if any of this is feasible and what it would cost, and then to bring it to the town. We know it's not in our budget. This would not be, we never anticipated this would be coming out of our budgets.
Could you simply just take a picture of one of the signs in Carolina Beach with someone standing beside it so we can get contrast?
If you've ever just drive down Port Fisher and stop at any of the Carolina Beach access points, the signs are actually quite nice.
Okay.
I think that the point here is not that you stop being creative or stop thinking of new things that could add value to the town or stop thinking of things that could improve the beach or parking. However, if we get to a point of execution, which I think you've pretty much done in the past, is bring as much show and tell as you can so we can follow you. But I think you're an inventive group of people, and I wouldn't want to see you stop inventing, and sometimes we all say no because we don't have the money.
Sure.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean the ideas aren't worthy.
Right, and I agree with Craig. We have had difficulty in the past getting this committee to bring a budget to us for the whole year with all of their ideas included, and instead coming up after the year starts asking for things, and then we have to look other places to get that money from. So I'm sure you understand that budget process a lot and maybe could help them get in line with that. Let's see, there's another one here under number 7C, Sea Oaks. It says Mike Bledsoe recommended that the committee should review the beach and ascertain what needs to be done to prepare damage. Okay, that is what John Batson's job is. And he does that along with Leighton Bedsall and Spencer Rogers and even sometimes help from the Corps. If he would just go and talk to John, he doesn't have to, you know, really review the beach to ascertain what our damage is. if he would go and talk to John, I'm sure John would let him know which areas need COs and whether we need to do them now or we could wait till the spring. Some of them may need it immediately.
Certainly.
Okay.
I think Mike does speak with John on a routine basis.
Okay. I really, really appreciate that. You also have storm water on here that you met with Sunny regarding storm water. I know some of it goes out to the beach, but I'm not. Could you tell us what your ideas are on storm water?
There were no ideas. Actually, it was I did not meet with Sunny. It was in the context of my conversation with Sunny when we were talking about signs. But it had come up to the committee about storm water discharge on the beach. Some of the older committee members remembered that there had been a study done 10 or 15 years ago for stormwater and the possibility of having stormwater pumped or moved to the Cape Fear side. I simply asked Sunny if that was any changes or if anything happened and what was the outcome of that. Sunny was kind enough to take time to tell me the difficulties, the huge expense of installing pumping stations, and everything else that was going on with stormwater. And so it was just an inquiry so that we were more informed as to what the town was doing with regard to stormwater. So we can answer the questions from there.
Okay, I'd like for David to tell you a little bit about our problem with the piping since the storm, especially the one near Ocean Dunes. They're looking after the beach and they're concerned about the storm.
Well, the outfalls, the storm, obviously the erosion, you see them sitting on the beach right now. That's going to be a huge expense to repair, which we will repair and put them back in the ground because they have to be there. I think Sunny probably covered it very well. I think council is well aware of this and I don't know if the citizens are, but the only way to get the water from 421 to the Cape Fear River is to pump it. The town doesn't own property to put pumping stations, nor do we want the expense. I don't think the town could really afford, once you start trying to pump stormwater, you design it for a certain amount, and then after that amount, which in the coastal region of North Carolina is an inch and a half of rain in 24 hours. So even if you do that, you're still going to have water go over people's lots and into the beach on these big events we're having. So I think that's why Sunny says, and council should be aware, that if anyone thinks that we're going to turn the water to a different direction, they're going to double or triple the water fees for all the citizens to pay for that, because mm-hmm. that's what it would be. And I don't think that the citizens are very amenable to that, honestly. As far as the... So, I mean, that's it on stormwater, right? You guys know. Sunny or I will be glad to talk to your committee if you want to talk about stormwater. I'm sure more citizens are going to be coming in November and December to talk about stormwater because there's individual lots that have problems. I'm surprised they're not here right now. But the stormwater issue is an ongoing issue, mm-hmm. right? So you saw from, if you were paying attention to our revenues, we put money up for that so we can maintain and improve the stormwater system, but it's very expensive and it's an ongoing thing, right? So we're doing big stormwater projects in the north part of town. By the time we finish those, it'll be time back in the south part of town. We've added stormwater drains in multiple parts of the old part of town due to low lots, but they're still low lots, and so they have to get the water up to that stormwater system. And so that's a problem on some of these properties. A different thing from slab, however, since we brought it up.
I do have one more issue on here from your minutes from this month. That's under new business, and I want to give the police chief and his men a heads up on this. Might put this on your spring agenda. The problem with enforcing the ordinance regarding the beach, such as dogs on the beach in season, violation of, if really that probably should be out of season because we have much more trouble with the dogs on the beach from October through April, but I'll get to that in a second. Violation of the dunes, etc. This is an ongoing problem. The suggestion was made that the committee should invite the police chief to our meeting next spring prior to the start of the season. Well, I would add to that maybe Assistant Chief Ed Kennedy too, because the lifeguards help to look after the dunes and tents and things like that. This comes up over and over and over again. We have an extremely small police department. We might have two guys on duty, we may have one. And so what it comes down to is, do you want our police officers on the beach looking for dog poop and telling people to put their cigarette, take their cigarette butts home with them, or don't leave plastic bags, or do you want them out there looking after your life and your property? And that may sound crass, but that's what it's come down to every single time. I will tell you from the complaints I've gotten in the 6 years I've been on council, the biggest problem are people who live here from now through April walking their dogs on the beach and make no attempt to clean up after them. So this, to me, is more of an educational issue more than anything else, educating our own residents on why they should not do this and trying to get their cooperation and maybe even their neighbors helping them out to get more cooperation. If your committee could come up with a suggestion on how we can educate our residents not to do that. And Chief, would you want to chime in here at all? Any comments on dog poop?
None necessarily on that. We do try to patrol the beach when we get the opportunity. We're very small. Life force try to help us out. We hadn't ran into it at all this year when we got out here, but we have had lots of complaints about it. So just something we keep on working on.
And I know one of our focus groups has been talking about having ambassadors in the town that would help to educate tourists on certain things, whether it's regulations or where the restaurants are, anything like that. And maybe that's something, again, our ambassadors could help with educating the general public on. We don't have that program yet, it's just been suggested. Your liaison over here is Joseph, and I know he works full-time and doesn't get to attend every meeting. I would like it very much if you and your other co-chairman would talk seriously with Joseph about what the committee can do to help him make it to meetings, even if that means changing the date or the time, because we're not going to change the liaison. He already looks like he's on the beach, so he's assigned to you. I want you guys to work it out so that he knows everything you're talking about, okay?
Okay.
Any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you so much for being here tonight, and look forward to seeing you or your co-chair next month.
Okay, thank you. Mayor Swagger?
Yes, sir.
Can I follow up on the parking issue?
Go right ahead.
There's nothing in this document that talks about individual parking. There's several pages on parking lots and how to have parking at your residence based on number of bedrooms and those types of things. You must provide parking for a number of cars depending on the size of your home. My understanding, since Chief's here, he can correct me, but where Tony and Slap and I run up and down this road 2-3 times a week on my bike, there are big areas that are not marked as you get a little further away from K Street. I don't think it's against the law to park in a non-marked off section of that road as long as you comply with the state of North Carolina parking so many feet from the curb, so many feet from a fire hydrant, parking on the right side of the road. It'd be nice to have those 5 marked off, because then people would say, okay, it's there. But I don't think I should get a ticket for parking
legally parking, when, even though it's not got two parking.
Yeah, you won't. People were parking in all those spaces all summer.
And a lot of that right around K is whether or not you're preventing people from being able to see the traffic when they come out of our temporary parking lot, when they turn onto K Avenue. And our former police chief and our existing police chief, I know was with him when we went together one time, have really walked that with Sonny and have said, should not be here. Yes, this is okay. Don't do it here. And frankly, nothing personal, you guys. I would prefer to listen to our staff and what they have to say. They usually have a really, really good reason for saying it. Okay?
And our department is not against the law to park in spots that are not marked.
Is that true if somebody parked there at the corner of K and Fort Fisher where there is no spot? Would you give them a ticket?
If they're not marked space, yes. I think the way our law is written, that it has to be in a marked space.
Okay, maybe you two can get together and figure out where that is. Okay? And speaking of which, our parking focus group will be here at our next meeting to talk to us about paid parking, do it or don't do it. You might want some of your, or some of your committee members may want to attend that meeting.
I believe some are on the focus committee.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. Non-committee reports. Do we have anything from ADA? Okay. Department head business. Administration and recreation.
Mayor, Commissioners, in your package, you have a memo from me on medical insurance. Before I start that, just a couple announcements. We have a flu clinic here in this room this Thursday from 2:30 to 6:30. And we currently have a Toys for Tots donation box in the lobby. That will be here. That's something that the Marines do for each holiday season. I recently brought to your attention that the state health plan that we participate in for our medical insurance for employees has made some changes. The General Assembly has mandated that certain costs of the premium for certain requirements that state employees have been having to do to pay a portion of their premium, we are now being required to pass that on to our employees. There's three different requirements called bonus credits. Across the three different plans that we have, they all carry a different amount. Some plans have three requirements. One plan has one requirement. The three are that you have to choose a primary care physician, you have to do a health assessment online, which is similar to what you do when you go to a doctor's office and you go through the whole history of yourself and your family. And then tobacco attestation, you have to say that you don't smoke, or if you do, that you have to agree to join a lonely counseling service that's offered by the plan. If you don't comply with these, you'll either pay $40 a month, $20 a month, or $25 a month. If you don't comply with all three of them, you can pay up to $90 or $100 a month out of pocket for your premiums. So I'm giving you all the details. I've spoken with most of you individually. There's been some correspondence back and forth. I don't have a recommendation for you tonight. Maybe what I have given you and you've asked me to provide is what I think the overall impact would be to our full-time employees. And right now, this only impacts our full-time employees, 43 full-time employees. I suspect, and we won't know until open enrollment is done at the end of this month, but I suspect about 28 of our 43 employees do use tobacco and will not comply, or will have to decide whether they comply with that requirement to try to put or not. I think that would be the biggest impact to the most, mainly across our fire, police, and our public works departments, some of our lower paid employees, to the tune of $40 a month. The other two, I think, are fairly easy to comply with. It doesn't involve any sort of addiction to any type of thing. My biggest concern is if council does nothing and allows this to be passed on to the December, we may have 5 employees in one group working together, making the same amount of money, roughly. Come January, 3 of those may be making $40 plus a month if they use the bathroom and choose not to comply. I know there have been comments made to me about, you know, we don't want to get in the business of paying employees to do bad things to themselves, but as long as we've had a medical insurance plan for the town, we have paid 100% of the payment. The only thing that's different now is that because we want to stay in the state health plan, we have to pass these rate changes on to the employees.
Well, and that has to be done before the end of this month?
Yeah.
Open enrollment is the end of October. That's the other thing, we've had very little time to let the employees know. So we are meeting with them individually. We don't want anybody smacked in the face in January because we're going to have to withhold this from the paychecks. But it starts with the new plan year, January 1st.
Is that $40 broken over two checks, like 20 and 20? Or is it all just going to be 40?
So it's 40 a month. But do they have the option of not taking insurance?
No, we've not offered that. We can with this plan, but we cannot pay an employee to opt out. So I've always looked at it as it's a benefit that should be across the board in order to benefit that week.
Okay.
If we have been in other plans where we have not an option, everybody has to be involved.
So I think it warrants a lot, you know, pretty much discussion at best.
Yes.
Fast.
Well, I think Nancy's done a great job of framing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it took a couple of times because back and forth what we asked. Appreciate you breaking it out. I was pretty clear to counsel in my email. As far as I'm concerned, if you have the option to not pay something and you decide not to do it, you can pay it, the town's not. So, but if you don't, like one of the plans, the $15 or whatever, I think we should figure out a way to pay for that. But I can't in good conscience pay someone's increased health insurance because they will not try to quit tobacco. And I don't think the town should pay because they're not willing to sign up online and say, this is the stuff I do and get feedback on how you could do better. So from my position, you know, Craig floated a plan, I floated a plan. I don't really care how we do it. I think I'm fine with us paying the increased cost to the employees if they follow all the programs, right? And then we just have to figure out how to do that between Arlen and Nancy, but that's my position. I'll let open it up to you guys.
Is the $8,200, so to speak, is that the windfall for the town, or is that above the windfall? Is that extra to what we used to pay?
Yes.
Yes.
It just goes up.
Well, we have one of the plans, 80-20, even if you do all three wellness credits, you're still going to have to pay $15 a month. $15.04
a month.
Where that came from, I don't know. We looked at what we had budgeted already because we started the budget year paying the 100% premium, and we always budget a little bit more because we usually get a 3-4% increase, but we don't always know that when we do budget because General Assembly makes a decision later in the year. And then we looked at if you did the $15 that may impact all employees, even if they comply, that was the thought, maybe 500.
Right, that's the low
in addition, but it's too early in the game really for us to.
So. Right, but if I really look at how much we budgeted, the windfall for the town could be that, yes.
I don't think it's a windfall for the town either way. It's just the minimum extra.
We paid, we used to pay 100%.
Correct.
Now we're going to pay 92%.
Okay.
So the town has money that we had budgeted that we are not now committed to spend.
Right.
And my thought is that we should spend it. But since it becomes part of 401k and salary, we shouldn't reward the people for doing bad things.
Right.
Right? But maybe we can do something to be equitable. That maybe it's not $15 a person, maybe everybody could get $25 a person.
So they get $10 for smoking.
Everybody gets $25, right? So everybody,
the individuals,
well,
who
the people
still smoking,
who
they get $10
the people
for
who
smoking.
Are smoking still have a $15 penalty.
Right.
They have to pay a penalty, and if people aren't smoking, they actually get a $10 reward for living a better life, staying healthy, and coming to work regularly instead of getting sick. So this thing about 401k and salary impacting pension, I just think it has to be equitable if we're going to do something to make up that delta. Some guys are going to have to pay more if they decide not to live a healthy lifestyle.
I would like for Arlen to clear up this windfall. We're not talking about getting a windfall of $8,500 if people don't start smoking. We're talking about having to spend, aren't we, an additional $8,500.
No, we're talking about not having to spend
it. Not having to spend it.
Because effective January 1st, the most the town would pay for any employee, I think, is $480 approximately. Mm-hmm. Versus now, it's anywhere from, it's as high as 540, depending on which plan and what wellness activities they've done. So it would actually be a saving, but as Nancy started to say too, is the way the budget was put together is we have to estimate premium,
yeah,
and they're gonna average on it. The budget can absorb any of this. It can absorb $16 increase per person, it can absorb $25.
Right.
At this point in time. So
right.
And that's per month, not per...
Per person, per month.
Per month,
month.
Per person,
not
per
paycheck.
So, and really the only way to do something is to do like a pay increase.
That's right.
For each employee, because we can't just give people money and not call it compensation.
That's
so
right.
No matter what, it's going to be something that's subject
right.
to... we can do it pre-tax, so we cannot... It won't be subject to Social Security and Medicare. But... taxes, but it will be factor into the 401k calculation
right.
and retirement calculation.
Have you run all of those calculations so we know what that's going to cost us?
Yeah, actually, I put that in the first thing I
yep.
sent out,
okay.
the first email.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the $40 a month that you guys keep talking about, that's just for tobacco.
Right.
What I see here are the other ones, so that we're really talking $105 a month.
We could, up to that, if it's the 80-20 plan.
If you're too lazy to fill out your survey, yes. And that's ridiculous.
See, I think
that survey.
One reason it was, we keep saying about the $40, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's on the 70-30 plan, there's only one thing you can do, which is the tobacco attestation.
Right.
If you do it, you don't have to pay $40. If you don't do it,
right.
it's $40. So that's... I think where we're using that $40
yep.
point. There's also the $15.04 point or whatever. So, and then there's mm-hmm. anything in between. You know,
and
right,
so
right
that
through
the
about
extra
amount.
25, well, the extra 50 under the 80-20 plan and the extra additional 40 under the 80, that's not calculated in there?
No, I mean, again, unless you want to say we're going to pay 100% and people don't have to do anything, I mean, I think you want to encourage people to do
right.
certain activities. I guess the question is, if somebody is a tobacco user, can they quit? Do they want to quit?
Well, most of those plans, my company does this, you do the attestation and then you have to go through the program,
mm-hmm.
do your 6 meetings online or whatever. You didn't have to quit, you just have to finish the program. And if you don't finish the program, then they bill you. If you do, then they don't bill you. And then the next year, you have to do the same thing, and you either say you quit or you do another program.
Well, the reason...
Arlen,
go ahead.
I was going to say, if I could ask for one thing, and I think we could maybe cut it to the quick, at least from my perspective. If we can look at, if we take the delta in dollars from what we had proposed in the budget, 100% of those dollars, and we look at the money that we would be paying now under the new rules, which I don't know, maybe it's 90%, maybe it's 92%, there's some Y dollars. If we divide the Y dollars by the total number of employees, if you could let me know how much that would be per employee in a salary increase that would actually roll to pension and then 401k. And that would treat every employee the same. And see, I had the calculator on. If you can do that now, that'd be great.
Having this discussion is because we're talking about not wanting to pay for people to smoke. Is that the reason that we're
having it? That's the reason I'm having it.
because we would have an impact.
Otherwise, we continue to pay 100%.
Well, I think the reason I'm talking about it is there's an impact to each and every one of our employees.
Definitely.
Most of them cannot afford the impact, and that impact is imposed on them by the state that says we don't have to pay it when we plan to pay it. So for the town to have a windfall on the, I don't want to use the wrong term, for the town to have a windfall at the expense of our low-cost employees, I don't feel right about it.
Well, so I don't think it's a windfall necessarily, right? So I'm all for paying for health insurance if they've done everything they can do to help out, right? They got to do their part, right? And so if this said you have to quit tobacco, that's not what it is. You have to tell the insurance company what you're doing, and then you have to try to quit, which, having seen what cancer does firsthand, people should be trying to quit it. Mm-hmm. And so there's no way I'm going to vote to pay for people to not tell the insurance company they're chewing tobacco and trying to quit. There's no way. There's four of you guys that can vote for that, and so that's fine. But for the discussion, I make a motion that, just like Craig proposed, we pay $20 and scale it up per employee for health insurance so that they can pay for their health insurance. And then the ones that pick the two plans, if they do all their compliance stuff, they're going to get $20 a month extra. If they don't do them, then they're going to end up paying half on the 70-30 plan. They're going to pay three quarters on the 80-15 plan. They're going to pay 80% on the the 80-20 plan.
Right.
So $20.
Right.
Plus scale it up for the so $20 to them. What? Do all your scale ups. That's my motion.
I second that.
What's the scale up?
That number would have been about $75.
Yeah, it'd been a lot more.
$75 per employee.
Yeah, it'd been a lot more.
Per employee.
Yeah, it'd been a lot more.
Not that, then you know, on top of that would be the
right.
But the actual.
Yeah, it'd be a lot more.
And that's not the $75 raise. That's the $75. That's whatever they get plus what goes into retirement plus what.
Be,
so you're not calculating the 401 in there that's costing us.
I back that back. I'm taking that into account. But when I say $75,
that's
how
what
much
we would give them.
Give as a, that we could absorb as a pay
in the current budget.
Right. Then on top of that, there would be 401, but there's enough money there to cover that. So that would be the max.
So then your
motion still stands.
Your motion would be to cover the
$20.
The wellness.
Yeah. My motion, it doesn't change my motion. You guys can discuss or change.
So we have motion second.
Any other discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Effective January 1st.
We have one opposed.
So you said it was 20?
$20 to the employee, effective January 1st,
net
20. So you can do your 401k and all your other magic.
So wait a minute, it's...
It'll be more, it'll be like $23 or something.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's
4-1.
Yes.
Jim.
Along the same line, I'm just throwing this out and I may come back to you in the November meeting. We have four retirees who are not Medicare eligible, who are on the same plan as our active employees. Our policy says we pay 100% health benefits.
Be the same thing. I think it should be the same thing. We can talk about it in November, but
we can't pay them. But I think we have to pass on the same thing to them. But I'm trying to need backing from council, particularly these are newer retirees. And here we said we pay 100%. Now we're saying we can't pay 100%. We can choose not to.
Yeah, you're talking about reducing it and paying 98% or 95%.
If they don't do the tobacco attestation, they won't get off.
They
get
100%
if they do their part.
Right.
If they comply.
That's what I just said.
Right.
But how would we give them the difference? We don't pay them.
We don't give it to them.
And we don't give them a pension. The pension comes from the state, right? Or do we write them a check?
No.
We pay for their health insurance.
Yes. Okay. So we would.
The policy clearly says 100%. So I will, we're kind of
So if they don't comply, if they don't comply, we pay a lower percentage and they have to pay the state the difference. How does that work out?
I think that's what we have to do, be in full compliance with the state health plan,
right,
even for our retirees.
Okay.
If they're on our active employees policy, then we have to follow the same thing.
Right.
I'm just giving you a heads up.
Yeah.
Get phone calls.
No, it's fair.
Okay. I would like to ask council, since we're running a little long already, and this is under recreation, we have numbers of the 70th anniversary celebration under the old business. I'm wondering if you don't mind if we'll get in here and do them there under recreation.
Do they have t-shirt designs?
I thought you were doing that.
We're designing you. Welcome to the committee, Justin.
With a pocket.
I'm not removing them from the agenda, I'm just moving them up under Department of Business. Is there any concern?
Make a motion, we move number 5 up to now.
Second.
Second.
Those opposed, I mean, those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Well, I was really excited to be the last one on the list. You know, we want to save the best for last, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not tonight. So, my name is Lisa Lowry, and I am the committee chairwoman of the 70th anniversary, Security Beach, the planning committee. And I have some great members here with me, too. So I had several details that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and all the good stuff that we're planning, and the fun things, and the nostalgia that we're going to bring in from 1947, and all the really cool ideas of getting people out into our community, and down to Fort Fisher, and over sports tournaments at the parks. But we've kind of gone a little late, so I'll spare you that, and save it for a more casual conversation at some point. So. That being said, I'm sure you guys have plenty of questions on what is listed here and what we are requesting your consideration to be for these topics on your agenda here. So I'm going to open it up to any questions and leave it at that.
So do you have a lot of these things already kind of arranged, or are these pretty much in the just idea phase?
A lot of the items like the my dollar store glasses here, sorry. The sponsorship packet, which I believe you guys should have a copy of, is something that we put together in hopes that you guys will approve that so we can go forward and start working immediately to gain funds for this event.
Right.
We want to finalize our budget and start advertising plans so we can get the word out and start getting volunteers, et cetera. So we're hoping that pending your approvals from all of the points listed on the memos that we can get to work right away. We are meeting once a month this year until January. We would like to get out the like to solicit vendors and start to get the vendor list going. So that is part of your consideration here tonight. So we've got a lot of this is probably pretty simple and pretty standard as far as what you do for your normal events here. I know that's a fabulous job, but taking care of those events and can answer questions on that. Things like street closings, I think, are probably pretty standard, right, with what you guys do. And the allowing participation of the commercial vendors like the food trucks and the other arts and crafts vendors and local nonprofits. So the only real difference here is that we are requesting beer and wine vendors for tasting. So local beer and wine vendors, that being Good Hops, and we haven't quite talked about who we would like to ask, pending your approval, of course, for wine tasting. But you know, we have a local winery here, Nona Bucka, in sort of the Monkey Junction area, that could potentially, you know, be a candidate for that. So I'm sure you're going to have some questions on having that type of event in the downtown area. I don't know if you've ever done it before, but. I have spoken with Good Hops and just asking some preliminary questions. Nothing here has been set in stone. We've made no commitments on behalf of the town and the council. So it is something that is completely legal and that we can do, and we're all set to provide a very fun and safe and well thought out event. So,
I'd have a question. Nikki,
yes.
Don't we already have wine tasting on Tuesdays?
We Yeah, and this, if we had a wine vendor, it would be no different than what they do in the market.
Right, so we've already approved that for market.
For the market people, but not for us.
It's approved for our summer market and the holiday market.
Right.
So that's why we're asking.
So the activity, that particular activity, we've already got.
Yeah, executed.
So the, okay, and then the $100 through $5,000.
Yes.
Right. That's what you would really like to get started on.
Absolutely. I'd like to go work tomorrow if we can.
Yeah.
Does our chief have a copy of this?
Of what?
Which
Nancy, could you please give him that?
We've met with the chief previously to discuss the ideas as well.
Thank you.
The council did approve alcohol at the Spring Festival 2 years ago.
That's right.
Yes, yeah, we did. Yeah.
And no, there is no parade. So
correct.
Save
yes.
that
there
for
no
the 75th. Yeah.
So, I mean, some of the fun things that we'd like to do since you asked, we thought that bringing 1947 back to Curie Beach would kind of be a fun addition to this event, since it is the 70th and this is a grand occasion. I mean, 75 would be huge, I'm sure. But so we'd like to invite car and bicycle clubs that have members who have vehicles from the 40s. You know, we want to do some fun stuff like that. We may potentially have the girls, be our local strolling models in 40s attire, specifically beachwear from the 40s. So that's one thing. That's kind of fun stuff like that that we're considering. You know, getting people out into the communities. We really want to have like some sports tournaments. We want to do some stuff at the community center. We want to potentially utilize the trolley stop that is here, and maybe do like a historical circle tour with the trolley company and provide them with a historian that can actually talk to the guests about the history of Curie Beach and all the cool things that have gone on here and the unique and not so cool. But so those are some of the fun things we want to do. Classic cars. We just want to really get the whole entire area, not just the downtown area involved, so the restaurants and businesses.
Yeah. So Juan, great work. Sponsorship packet looks really nice. Make a motion we approve the sponsor package so they can start looking for a sponsor.
Just need to see the t-shirt design.
We'll give that next, right?
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Second, make a motion we close K Avenue east of Fort Fisher Boulevard and Atlantic Avenue between K and L Avenues the early morning hours to 7 p.m. on Saturday, April 29th, 2017.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And then, okay. Council, we previously approved beer and wine. I like the sampling idea, really nice. I don't know if I'll be able to sample enough, but. And I think we've had food trucks before, so I think for what they're requesting right now for commercial vendors for planning purposes, make a motion we approve the request as presented and look for more information on in November and December.
Right. He had a question, and I can answer that quickly.
Sorry, yeah. Is it just samples or sales?
It says sampling, with sales for off-site consumption is how they...
Sampling, and if we do something, if Good Hops does something, say, like a commemorative little sampler glass or a tumbler glass, something like that, then they would only request a donation, and they always give donations to whichever charity is in need at the moment. So something, and of course, all of the servers are safe certified, and they know not to overserve. They're very educated, and we would ban everybody. So it would be a very, by the books, event according to ABC. And
which we approve and come back to us with a more detailed plan in the November, December, January time frame. That's my motion.
Yep.
Second. Jim's got second. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Go get them.
Thank you. Thank
you. Anything else under administration, Madam Clerk?
No.
Okay. Finance Department.
Yeah, I have just one thing. Just got right before the meeting. And it's really just another financing. Police Department's purchasing two vehicles that they actually had delivered just the other day, so we got all the financing information just earlier today.
Car's already here?
So this is, what's that?
The car's already here?
Yeah. It was part of what was budgeted, so this is just the financing part of it. So it's just the standard resolution, and then the financing that it went with was from First Bank, or that I'm recommending. It's 1.6% for 4 years.
Carlin, I want you to give me my finance. Yeah. Make a motion we approve the resolution.
Second. I second. Oh, second.
Is this the check I sent?
Yes, that is the check.
That is.
And I want to know from the chief if this is the car he said I could drive around town, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You can have them all.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, building department, fire department, police department.
With your pleasure, I'd like to move up the old business item.
Paul's name.
Under police problems, or police.
I'll second that.
Which number? Oh, I thought it was automatically under.
Well, no, I screwed up.
Under.
He said old business.
Oh, okay.
I'll second Jenna's motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Go at it, Chief. Tell us about this thing you've been working on for years.
Not just me. Dennis, before he left, began working on the policy. A more improved policy that's been in the works for a little over 2 years. This conforms to state law and constitution. The town attorney has looked at it and approved it, and just asking for your blessing to go ahead and start implementing it.
Anybody have any questions on any of the policies and procedures?
No.
It's definitely thick enough.
When I'm skimming through this thing to try to go to sleep at night, is there any particular area you would really like for council members to pay particular attention to or be aware of or learn about what you're required to do?
No, it's just, it's all something, the whole thing is something we have to adhere to. It's a good insurance policy for the town as far as having a good policy.
I understand that maybe a lot of it is required by state or maybe even federal law or state law.
Yeah.
Okay.
It deals with body cameras, car cameras, the use of force, the how you dress. So it deals with everything.
Okay.
Well, before I make the motion, I'd like to ask you, when you do the next one, put more pictures in. I'd like to make a motion that we accept the new Kira Beach Police Department policy manual.
I'll second that.
And before we vote, I do have one question. I understand now that as of October 1st, the town does not have to release body camera film. Is that just body camera or any other film that we don't have to release?
Any of the police, yes.
Any of them, unless someone goes to court, or even if we wanted to do it, we have to go to court to get it approved.
If you want it released.
Yeah.
We're not going to release it unless we have a subpoena to do so.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
Thanks for the hard work.
Yeah, nice job, sir.
Public Works. Well, I tell you what. Oh, now you're way down there. Public Works.
Nope. Nothing there.
All Business. ROT.
Excellent. So, Council, before you have a letter and notice of action, which I recommend we put on our website and to the newspaper. And so a lot of help from staff, so thanks to Nancy's for writing, ghostwriting and helping out with this. I put your name, Madam Mayor, but I'm fine if you want it to be from me instead of you, whichever way you want to do it. And my recommendation would be send it to all property owners so that way everyone gets it. Basically, it's just what we've talked about for the last few months of informing people that we have done our own review of people advertising properties for rent and that we intend to share that review with the tax office and we expect them to take action on it. So the letter is pretty straightforward. It really puts the details in well without being too wordy, I think. So unless you guys have got specific changes, I feel good about the letter and recommend we approve it and then ask the staff to make one for every property owner because we just got that as the addresses. That's why it's got name, address, city. They'll put those in, and I recommend attached to it is the New Hanover County letter from October of 2015, that says the complete statute. And then every property owner has been put on notice, so then I think the next step is start talking to the tax office. So just request your approval to get staff to get the mayor's signature before they run them all off so that you don't have to sign 2,200. We'll help you out, ma'am.
Thank you. Now, Craig attended a meeting the other day on ROT, right?
No.
Oh,
TDA ROT meeting is next week.
Okay. Okay, so the two of you, the one you're going to is next week?
Well, I hope so.
Okay. Yeah.
I missed it.
Well, please come back and let us know what they say, okay?
Mm-hmm. So David, you were looking at comment on this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I think the letter is consistent with everything we've done. I like the explanation. And I would, are we looking for a motion to proceed?
Yeah, I guess. I make a motion that we direct staff to send one of these letters to each property owner in Curie Beach and post on our website and pass on to Island Gazette for posting in the newspaper.
Second.
All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Excellent. Opposed?
Thank you.
Okay, the floor is still yours.
Yeah, so Hurricane Matthew, just to update the council and open the meeting, great job by the staff. Of course, it wasn't really a hurricane when it got to us, so please, as you're talking to people in town and they say how great we did in the hurricane, point out to them it was only a tropical storm. And we did not get 12 inches of rain, which if we would have, all the sandbagging and pumps we staged would not have worked for those properties. So while I think staff did great, we were very fortunate. Looking at the cost to the town, the actual cost that we've already spent in labor and rental is probably close to $35,000 based on what Arlen's given us. We have an outstanding $63,000 estimate for fixing all the outfalls. So if you've been on the beach and looked, all of the outfalls were impacted. If you go down to Fort Fisher, some of them are in the rocks. So all of that will have to be repaired. Sonny basically just did an outfall estimate. There's 15 outfalls that were impacted, $4,200 each. So in total, by the time we get everything back to where it was before the storm, we're going to probably spend around $110,000, most of that in public works. So just so the town knows. So when you see all that big money up there, realize a storm can spend it really fast.
May I ask a question?
Yes, ma'am.
Because of DOT's involvement, from what I've understood at the beginning when those outfalls were put there, are we going to approach DOT about helping us with that?
I'll ask Sonny, and Sonny and Arlen will talk to him. But part of the deal from DOT was they're ours to maintain with our beach renourishment, so we paid for them in the past, but we can always ask for money, right?
Plus, will we be asking FEMA for reimbursement on this?
Well, at this point...
Yeah, New Hanover County has not. I've asked Arlen multiple times. You saw one of the emails. So they have not really done anything, and based on all the inland stuff, I don't know that we're going to. So we'll follow New Hanover County's guidance. New Hanover County saw this information, so I shared it with them. Okay, so that's that one. The last one is spills. You have before you, if I can find it now, changed our emergency operations plan. So basically this is just an addition, Appendix 6. You've also got us an email, and we can make changes to this anytime. So if we don't like it, we can pass it next time. But basically, this is for council to review. I worked with the department heads on this. Basically, for this one, it's really for a sewage or stormwater spill that is larger than Public Works feel they can handle. And basically, it gives Public Works as the responsible person, and then it moves forward with the other department's responsibilities, which is basically to ensure that people are informed and stay out of the spill while Public Works is addressing it. So that's barricades, and that's what we talked about when we met. Fortunately, with the changes we've made to the system, the bypass that council approved at the last meeting, and the new pipe that allows us to cross connect the system and send it to the lagoon, during the storm we had no problems with overflow, which is atypical. So we think we fixed that, but we still need to fix our emergency operation plan. So this one's for your review, and I'll put it on next month for approval, so you guys can have a chance to approve it. I don't even review it, if you're okay with that.
Any questions?
Just send me questions, and we'll approve it at the next council meeting.
Okay.
And I'm done, ma'am.
Okay. This coming week, I'll be attending the North Carolina League of Municipalities. It's really their annual conference, but this is also their biennium advocacy goals meeting, which will be held this coming Sunday morning. And I included a copy in your packet, or Nancy included a copy in your packet of all the goals that they are looking at right now, and asked you to let me know if there is anyone in particular, most of all, that you disagree with, that you would like for me to vote no on. If you haven't had a chance to do that, please do so in the next few days so I'll know before I leave, and don't vote for something that you don't like.
I thought it was a good list.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, number three is awesome.
I thought it was a good list.
I
read through that. Right. And I'm surprised.
Number three is the one to allow remodency tax revenues
right.
to fund municipal
right.
service and infrastructure costs.
Yes.
Those are,
I didn't see anything.
Those are yes ones. Okay.
Yeah, so
yes ones.
Number three is outstanding.
Okay.
I didn't see any that were that bothered me. They all looked like they had value.
Okay, I think
so vote away.
The committees really did a good job meeting a couple of times this summer and really going through them in detail and noting what, you know, people may disagree on and testing them. As I pointed out, number 23, seek legislation to increase state level funding for municipal infrastructure needs. That was originally for beach nourishment and the coastal inlet dredging, but the committee decided there were also other needs that mm-hmm. some municipalities, maybe even us, might need. So that was revised accordingly. Okay, well, I will take your opinions to Raleigh then. Let's see, the 70th anniversary we have covered, new business. I don't believe there is any new business. Mayor updates. I have this little picture here for you guys, and had a gentleman, maybe from years ago, some of you may have remembered reading in the Island Gazette about a gentleman named Blocher, B-L-O-C-H-E-R, coming to Carolina Beach and wanting to do some type of entertainment business somewhere in Carolina Beach, and the council voted it down. Well, he is back, and he wanted to get our support first before he goes back to Carolina Beach. Unfortunately, he had a meeting with them that the mayor canceled because of the storm. What this boils down to is this gentleman would like to build a huge entertainment center somewhere on Pleasure Island, and when I say entertainment, we're talking Disney World, Universal Studios.
The buffer zone.
Well, he did tell me that he's already been in negotiations with Sunny Point, and that they're willing to sit down and talk to him about what areas he would like to have. So I'm getting him to ask for a bike path at the same time. Yeah, I know. It was really, really hard for me to keep from laughing. I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that on record, should I?
Why don't we wait until
Carolina Beach approves
exactly
it?
Right.
I think that's a great idea. I don't know anywhere in Carolina Beach that would be big enough to do this.
Well,
He's talking about like.
We've got some properties. What did I tell you?
Like an amphitheater?
The brothers.
I don't know.
A building place?
Yeah, that they have acres and acres and acres over there for sale that he would like to buy right next to the state park and put up something, you know, to the equivalent of Six Flags or Busch Gardens.
But the bridge will only handle so much traffic.
I've got the land 4 minutes in Pender County. Tell them to call me.
Okay. Okay.
It's underwater.
That used to be Bill's over here. Never mind.
I would just say I would want to see a traffic study before I do anything to support anything like that.
Well, he wouldn't leave any of the detailed information with me, but he had these beautiful drawings of this whole indoor water complex that would be in with all these restaurants and all these venues, and you'll and guess who's doing all the design work for him? David Lyle. So with that, let me move on to my next one.
See how Harris Teeter walks up to try to be down the beach and approve anything else.
Unfortunately, guys, I can't find it right now, but I had a very, very nice letter from Fort Fisher. And one of the things they talked about were the 872,000 visitors they had this past year and over 800,000 the year before. So it's really getting up there to 900,000, which does not include people who went to the aquarium and did not go to Fort Fisher. So we're talking, I know this sounds crazy, but we're talking close to 1 million people coming through our one little stoplight year round. So please keep that in mind. Commissioner items, anything?
I'd just like to commend all the departments for the work it did during the storm. Mm-hmm. It, if nothing else, was a good reminder of what potentially can happen and help those of us that may have forgotten what it was really like, that we need to be a little sharper. But everybody did do their due diligence and everything went fine, smooth, the way it was supposed to be. And fortunately, we weren't really put to the test. So it was great work by everybody. Especially our emergency manager.
Didn't do anything, Nick.
That's what I mean.
That's right. It's the best way, right? Cool. Make a motion.
Okay, wait. No.
Oh, sorry.
We will be having a closed session for personnel matters per North Carolina General Statute 143-318.1A6 and for MPO legal matters that concern us per North Carolina General Statute 143-318.1A3. Do I hear a motion?
Make a motion.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you.
Lisa, you want to
keep it? Yes,
sir. She went another way and said, I said, I have that job. Nobody wants that job. So.
That's right.
There's no way anybody wants.
Okay. I make a motion we return. I make a motion we end the closed session.
Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
I make a motion that we approve the hiring of Michael Hagler for Public Works Department.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
And I'm abstaining, Nancy.
And one sanction over here. Okay. Do I hear a motion to close the meeting?
Make a motion we direct the personnel officer to review a climate survey for the town, for all departments in the town.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Now make a motion.
I'm sorry. Did y'all, they vote for you to abstain yourself?
He did abstain.
No, he abstained on that.
We didn't have a vote, but he abstained. Yeah.
Do we need to
have a vote? I think it would be nice if
Why do we have to have, I've never heard of doing a vote on somebody abstaining.
Yeah, you're supposed to allow him to abstain.
Yeah, you're allowed to. Make a motion that I'd be allowed to abstain. Yeah, make a motion that I'd be allowed to abstain from the vote of my brother.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Cool. There you go.
I make a motion we take another look at our personal policy on department liaisons.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? It passes. Do I hear anybody closing the meeting?
I make a motion to close.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
What is with all these signatures?
You won't get a note for looking at it. Something has to be brought before council.
Mm-hmm.
I told Lisa where your beard came to be very close.